Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin, and we're speaking tonight to Edin Ku, the founder of Pusaka, as well as Zachary Kier. He's the CEO of Allianz Malaysia. We're talking about the project Bina Bangsa. And, you know, Edin, I was looking at the 10 books that this project intends to publish, and it feels almost too Malaya-centric. Is mm-hmm. that, would you say that's accurate?
Well, many of the documents are quite Malaya-centric. The careerism that went into the conquest of North Borneo and the Brooks conquest of Sarawak were really quite piratical, quite you know, the acts of bandits, basically.
They were privateers.
They were privateers. So there was very little in terms of a clear documentation of you know, what happened in West Malaysia. There was, of course, a lot of legalisms that came into play with British intervention. Even the concept of colonialism, of course, and my father was very mired in this big controversy when he said Malaya was never colonized. But we also fall into a certain pattern of colonial history that becomes extremely, extremely interesting, introduced by the British, of course, which was the concept of indirect rule. And indirect rule was often based on things like treaties and not full conquest, no invasions and so on, but a kind of very astute form of diplomacy and intervention. So I think these things need to be gelled out and spoken about again, because we've come under very easy kind of conceptual ideas such as colonialism. I'm not saying that Malaya wasn't colonized in all shapes and forms, but what I'm saying is we have to acknowledge how unique and distinctive our colonial experience was.
Yeah, and I take your point, but you know, Zachary, you know, there is a very contemporary conversation, partly coming out of the shifts in power that we had in our national politics that made Sabahans and Sarawakians very impatient with the presumptions of people from Malaya, right? And I wonder if that conversation can happen, if we can be truly inclusive of the perspectives that are coming from Borneo and Sarawak. Do you think that that it's there in this project? Do you feel it will come out in the discussions about the project and the various books?
Yes, first of all, you cannot deny the fact that the history of Malaya is clearly the foundation of the history of Malaysia. And I don't think anybody from Sabah or Sarawak will tell you otherwise. However, I think they feel aggrieved the fact that because we keep on treating them as poor country cousins from outside, which is unfair. Like, we downplay Malaysia Day, we say that, oh, you join. No, they didn't join, they formed Malaysia. These are the things, these are kind of narratives that we should have. And like what Edin said, yes, their history is there, but there was a lot more advanced, I mean, and I mean no disrespect, but at that particular time, Malaya was more advanced, society more. So obviously where society more, history is more complex. Whereas in Sabah and Sarawak, it was different. Yeah? It was principally ruled Brunei, the Sultan of Brunei ruled huge tracts of land over that particular area. And it's those interactions that gave birth to both North Borneo, Sarawak and So in this, some of this will come out. Perhaps we can tell this story in the future. Yeah? But this is still, as Malaysia, where we are today, it's got a lot to do with how Malaya was formed.
And I really like that, because I like how you say history is complex, right? We have to kind of look at the setting and the relevance of that time as well. And that's something that comes back to what you said, it's not just formal history, it's also collective memory. Yes. Is that something that is going to be built into this this project?
Yes, of course, there is, as I said, an attempt to build these archives. And we can look at history through all kinds of prisms. For example, we want to curate you know, an entire collection or online exhibition of Malayan and Malaysian and state stamps, for example, of the 1940s into the 1950s, you know, which were very emblematic of a certain kind of social consciousness, of a certain kind of cohesion in terms of separate states seeing themselves within one as one entity. The question of Sabah and Sarawak is also very interesting. I mean, I think one of the greatest challenges one of the most difficult or challenging books to write would be the Formation of Malaysia book, because it brings into question things like the Cold War. Mm. It brings into question, you know, how specific powers view territory. So the Philippines always saw Sabah as an extension of the southern Philippines. Indonesia, of course, laid claim to Borneo because of the Kalimantan territories. All these things were being formalized during that period. Yeah.
But
it is not Malayan centric. I don't think it kind of evolves into embracing the entire region.
Right. If in fact there's one document that's had real salience in terms of public conversation today, it would be the Malaysia Agreement.
Yes.
Utilized by states' rights-based groups in Sabah and Sarawak. Yes. So, I mean, if there was going to be a captive audience for a project like this, yes. I guess your book on the Malaysia Agreement, yes. or that included the discussion of the agreement, would be there. How do you create? Is there a single author for the books, or is it a collection by multiple authors with different perspectives?
I am the single author. Of
all the books. That's a lot of work. And
they are very small. They're little introductions, so they don't go beyond 10,000 words.
Yes.
But what it is I think it's to pull back our conversation into foundational arguments. We now have so much talk and so much. Dialogue in a sense, sometimes quite raucous. But I think the element of the subjective often overwhelms the conversation. Mm. So this is an attempt to really lay the foundations in very, very, very fundamental
ways. Sorry, both of you, you're hoping to pull back the conversation to the founding of
the
nation.
No, we want to put facts on the
facts.
Table.
See, yeah.
The problem is, in Malaysia, history has become an opinion. It's not based on facts. So these 10 books will present the facts. Whether you like it or not, that's history. Okay, it has happened. Okay. And there's documentary evidence to support that particular.
I think another thing that I want to emphasize is because the entire project is quite comprehensive, as I said, you know, it has some eccentric things like, you know, looking at nation building by curating on the website of Project Bina Bangsa, curating the idea of nationhood and independence through art, for example, literature, newspaper and journalism. But I also want to emphasize the need for history to be written.
Yes.
You know, there needs to be more history that is written and not just put in exhibitions and sometimes highly formalized on our national platforms, which can sometimes be very confused and confusing.
Yeah.
For example, our celebrations of our Rukun Negara, 50th year of our Rukun Negara. I mean, I've been quite disturbed that you know, the word Rukun Negara has actually been changed from its original compound noun or namahas, which Rukun Negara was one word.
Yes.
It's now become two words. So there are all these kinds of strange changes that have happened.
Mm.
I think there's a need now to pull things back and begin to have a dialogue on a fundamental and foundational level.
All right, you're going to be back in a couple of minutes and continue this conversation. So stay tuned to Consider This.